So my name is Francisca Moraga López. I am the Professional Development Coordinator for EIE at the museum, but I am also a visitor services sales rep and an events or a function coordinator with events and conference services. And now I also, I guess, am a presenter with MOS en Español. So a couple of different hats. You know, personally, I am not at Chilean American. My brother identifies as that, and I think about it a lot. But for me, I am first and foremost Chilean. That's just like my identity. You know, my family and I are from Chile. I'm a first generation immigrant. I was born there. And even though we've been here for like 21 years now, and I've been here physically more than in Chile. You know, from the door in, my house was always Chile. We paid extra to watch TVN, TV Chile, not Univision El Mundo. We had Chilean friends. We celebrated all the holidays. So for me, that is my foremost identity. And it wasn't really until like senior year in high school and college where I just became just more aware, right? More aware of my experience and where I was living. And I started just, you know, affiliating myself and identifying more as like a Latina and a person of color. Still, you know, primarily Chilean first. But being in college, like I came from Prospect Hill Academy, which was a super colorful, diverse group of students. And that was my lived experience. So that when I went to college and everything was just so white, it was a really extreme culture shock for me. And so that's where, you know, the groups on campus, Vista, our Latinx affinity group, and Minco it was really important for me and was part of me gaining this awareness of like, you know, I'm Chilean, I'm Latina, I'm a person of color. So being Chilean and as such, being a Spanish speaker has, you know, means a lot to me in my work and in what I do because it's just like I carry it like so like just strongly, I guess, and like it's just my initial thing. Like I am always used like, is this available in Spanish? How is this going to be received by a Spanish-speaking family? Like being, you know, I think since my time working in a cafeteria at the Tufts University, the Spanish speaking has always just been my plus. I can talk to the international students, you know, I can just reach a bigger audience working in museums since a college student. You know, I've been able to do tours to kids learning English, right? And that I was an English learner as well. So I get to, you know, that it wasn't just a class with Spanish speakers, it's a class with other people who speak other languages. And just having that, being able to have that experience and the knowledge of Spanish and what it is to be a learner of another language, I think just has helped me in all my work. So coming now to the Museum of Science, you know, I am from Boston. I've been in, you know, I was in Boston forever, you know, I came at 7 years old and been in Boston since. So it was really important for me at the Museum of Science that I would be able to, in my work, you know, make sure that my community was going to be, you know, served and that they would feel welcomed in the Museum of Science. And, you know, working as a visitor services rep, you know, I was taking on all the families and, you know, planning out their day and signing them up for memberships because it's the cheapest but also most accessible way to keep coming back to the Museum of Science. So that for me has always been very, very important. And now with MOS en Español, I mean, when my family came for the first time to the museum, I would have never imagined, like I didn't hear someone talking with an accent when we did watch the presentations. There wasn't maybe like a map, but there wasn't really like signage or anything. The people who were Latinos were mostly, you know, cafeteria and the janitors. And now like people get to visit and they see like Pablo and Mayra and Cristina out in the halls. They get to see us online. And I think, you know, if, you know, we value, you know, being a museum for everyone, I think this work and just being like a Chilean Spanish speaker is just very important to everything that we're doing now. I like to think of it as like, I didn't pursue a career in STEM, but the STEM came to me, pursued me. I don't know what the exact, I think there's like a exact idiom for that, but English is not my first language, so I'm not sure of it. But, you know, growing up, we traveled all over the East Coast in our car, and my parents always took us to museums, like weird little history museums here and there, but also like the Intrepid, where we saw, you know, that air carrier thing in New York, and the Met, and the Museum of Science. And I, you know, I've always been like this really big nerd, this really big geek. And so I love learning. And in these museums, I got to learn things that were not accessible to me at school or weren't just not being taught to me at school. So for me, museums were super important. And art museums were like particularly my happy place. So I studied art history at Williams College. And once I graduated, I knew that I needed to go, that I wanted to work in museums because I needed to be in a place that gave me so much so that I could, you know, be that person and fill the gap and give back. I worked at the PBD Essex Museum in Salem as an American art intern. I worked at the Concord Museum of Art as an attendant, as a gallery attendant, ended up as a fellow. I'm doing this really big fellowship in museum practice for 3 years at the Colby College Museum of Art, which at the time was the biggest museum in the state of Maine. And so coming back to Boston, I knew I needed to stay in museums, of course, but I saw this opportunity to step into the Museum of Science, which is such an important museum nationwide, worldwide, like, you know, I was attending conferences and hearing its name. So, and I was very proud of it because I'm from Boston. So going back to Boston, I took the opportunity to like step into the door. It was kind of risky because I'm an art person and it was weird to kind of step into science. But I was really driven by, you know, being back in my community, being able to be in this institution that was like so cool and like everyone comes to. And like I love science in high school, so it's like a really great chance to kind of tie back to something I love so much. I've definitely been thinking a lot about what changes could be made in STEM and towards the future, and I think there's really two big things that stand out to me. One, particularly just in terms of education and access, how can we, you know, specifically in this time, there's kids, and I would have been one of them, who can't be home all day by themselves. So I would have been in a van with my dad doing deliveries all over the city, and maybe not even attending virtual class or being able to attend virtual class when I needed to. So how can we, and then again, I take a lot from my personal experiences in my work, but how can we help those students? How can we help those students that, you know, maybe they just, the parents at home just don't know how to, you know, access or approach schoolwork because they themselves have a bad history with it. So I think how can we as STEM, as people who develop STEM curriculum and teach STEM, how can we make sure that we have plan Bs and plan Cs and plan Ds? And then I think the second thing that I think really just needs to change is this representation of underserved and minority groups, particularly in STEM leadership, you know, and it's not something that changes so suddenly, but when you have leadership groups, organizations, and boards that are primarily white, those organizations are severely limiting themselves. They're not doing their best work because they're lacking in perspective and they're lacking in experiences. And there's only that we can learn a lot and we can read and we can study and we can do research, but that does not replace like a person, an actual person and an actual like person who's lived experience, you know, can speak to a little bit more. And just being able to have that range of perspective in leadership is so important. My inspiration lately has come a lot from The feedback we've been receiving from our EIE families, Spanish language activities, from the Facebook comments, or even just like the Zoom comments that come in during our live shows in MOS en Español. And just hearing people like just being so genuinely thankful for just like providing this kind of resource. And what's really cool in MOS en Español is that we're seeing people from all over the world. Like, I think we still have some research to do in our local audiences, but on Zoom, we have people from Costa Rica and Peru and all over. And it really speaks to that maybe it's not something that's just lacking here in the United States, but that, you know, just more people talking in STEM and other languages that look different is just something that is needed all over. And it's just really helpful to hear that, you know, people are actually tuning in and, you know, finding us so helpful, and that people are watching with their kids, and their kids are getting, I think someone commented that their kids are getting to practice their Spanish with us. And then not only that, but like between the four of us doing the programs, we're all coming from different Latin American countries. I guess, you know, two of us were born in another country. Two of us are born here. They're heritage speakers, but their families are from other places. And so we all have different levels of Spanish. We all speak Spanish very differently. So we're also getting to represent the diversity of Latinidad itself, right? That like, it's not just people who are, you know, fresh from Latin America. It's not just people who, you know, speak Spanish fluently. But it also includes, you know, all this like different versions of it. And it's really cool just to be part of this group. And it's daily inspiration.